go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 102 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. It has recently occurred to me that I never gave you all my New Year's resolution for the year 2025. My New Year's resolution for this year is going to be to not wear my seatbelt while driving. And if I am driving and you are in the passenger seat or in the back, I am going to politely ask you to unbuckle your seatbelt. Because if we get into an accident, I would like all of us to go through the windshield together. If we drive together, we perish together. Now, I could have said the word die right there, but I won't, because if you say the word die and put it in a reel, it suppresses the views. But again, I don't get any views anyway. And the B-Man, I have been thinking about that this week. I know last week I was bemoaning and bitching about how nobody's watching my content. Well, instead of moaning and just being a hissy fit about it, I am going to up the value of my content. So I've been doing that this week. I've been listening to interviews. I've been cutting them into clips so that I could put them out of context in my content. What is it? The late night shows, they've been doing this for 50 plus years. So the B-Man, I can do so as well. I'm as smart, if not smarter. Certainly am wittier and funnier than those writers of those shows that nobody watches. So yeah, we're going to do that. That's what we're going to do here at Verbal Graffiti. Now, with all of that out of the way, and I hope you're all with me with this New Year's resolution, and don't wear your seatbelts this year, because we should trust our driving. Every time you buckle your seatbelt on whatever side you're on, you're telling yourself, oh, I'm not a safe driver. There's a possibility that I'll get in an accident. Well, I'm not going to wear my seatbelt, because if I don't have it on, that's going to make me a more conscientious driver. Because I know if I do get in an accident, that I very well might go through the windshield. And I think I have a beautiful face, so I don't want to have to ruin that. And all right, that is a PSA. 2025, no seatbelts. This past weekend, I was out. I went to this place called Fireside 12. It's a bar underneath. A couple things about this place kind of put me in the Bret Hart sharpshooter. I felt a lot of pain, a lot of anguish. I didn't really know what to think about what was going on there. So I sat down at the bar. It's a small lounge. So I'm there. I order a Modelo, and the bartender there is probably my height, maybe 6 feet, maybe 6'2", a grown man, arm sleeve tattoos, hideous. He had a flat brim baseball hat on, which is there anything more unmanly than a grown man wearing a baseball hat with a flat brim? When I see that, it's almost as though I want to hold you. I feel like, yo, you need your dad with you to hold your hand as you walk through the amusement park and he pays for your cotton candy and fried dough. Bend the brim a little bit. You're over the age of 21. You can do that. Anyway, he's there. He serves me an overpriced Modelo. I noticed to my left there are two stools. That there are people there, but they're not there. Right? Like their wine glasses are there with what do you call it? The napkin over it. Kind of that universal sign saying, hey, do not drug me, and I will be back soon. So I was there drinking my Modelo, not even thinking about that. I'm just steaming, stewing over the overpriced Modelo, which we've mentioned plenty of times here before at Verbal Graffiti. And after a few minutes, the babe she came over. Like, she came back to her seat. I didn't really even look at her. She took off her napkin, and I was like, oh, who's this? And I turned to my left, and she looked at me, and she gave me this lady who's probably petite, she's mid, right? That's the word they use, mid. Would I fuck her? Yeah, the B-man would fuck her. Would she fuck me? Absolutely not. She gave me, it wasn't even a look of disgust. It was a dehumanizing look. Now, she definitely was not white, maybe black. I'm pretty bad with figuring out people's race and ethnicity. But she was definitely darker skinned and younger, I would say mid-20s. But she gave me a look like, what are you doing here? And I wasn't even, like, I didn't even smile at her. I wasn't trying to hit on her. I didn't even, it was, my look at her was like, oh, you're a person. Like, you're somebody there. That it was a nondescript look. And that dehumanizing look she gave me, I still feel that in the pit of my chest. And I have a black heart. So for me to be feeling a mere look that you gave me 5 days previously, that's a baddie right there. And I don't know what is it, because are you not allowed to go out if you're over the age of 30 years? I don't know what that look was. And I'm still thinking about it. I'm bumping into walls. I'm stubbing my toes. She's got me messed up for the rest of winter 2025. And then also at this bar, Fireside 12 or Firehouse 12. I'm bad with names. It's somewhere downtown New Haven. And they had a DJ there. He was playing reggae music. And the thing that threw me off about this DJ is he was white. So I'm there at the bar and there's a white DJ playing primarily reggae music. Now, I am a guy who believes in stereotypes. So when I see a DJ playing reggae, I assume that DJ is going to be, he's going to be wearing vibrant colors, probably be black or Jamaican or some type of brown with dreadlocks or a fun hat. Like, that's the type of guy who could be wearing a flat brim hat, not a boring white emo bartender with a bat sleeve tattoo. But this guy was white and he was bland. He was more white than I am. He was a type of white that could be, you know, he's the type of white you see him and go, oh, that guy works with autistic children at some type of school. Or he could be the CYO basketball coach. He was just a nondescript. Just you see him once and he's like, I don't even remember what he looks like. If he was just a normal guy at the bar, I would have forgot about him. But the fact that he was a DJ and that he was playing reggae music and that he was the most bland white guy ever, and I wanted to start a revolution in that bar and tell everybody, hey, why are we allowing this? Isn't that cultural appropriation? Or shouldn't we, like, do we not have enough reggae people in Connecticut that we have to sign a white guy to play the music? It was so, like, I've seen the movie Cool Runnings. I know what reggae music is, and a reggae DJ should not be a white guy. You know, that guy wouldn't even gotten cast in the movie Cool Runnings. And it was a very, like, I won't say I defend stereotypes, but I believe in them because there's some truth to them. But when you see a white guy playing reggae music with the vinyl records and doing the whole thing, the shabba, shabba, ba 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 ba, and no dreadlock. It's like, what? Whoa. You shouldn't be allowed to play reggae. You should be playing emo or rock music or, like, Taking Back Sunday and Used and all those fucking Hooba Stank. He shouldn't be playing. Like, honestly, I didn't know any of the reggae bands he was playing because I'm a white guy. And I don't know. Like, I know reggae music when I hear it, but I can't tell you who's playing the reggae music on that record because I'm just a normal white guy who listened to emo and rap growing up. So, love the bar. I am not a fan of white guys who moonlight as reggae DJs. That person, that's the type of guy that Trump should deport and send him to Canada or Jamaica. Send that guy to Jamaica. I don't know. I was very frustrated with that. Not frustrated. I was more flabbergasted. I left with more questions than I had answered. And I wasn't even asking any questions while there. It was just a lot of just, I was getting evil looks. I was getting great music from a guy who doesn't seem like he would know that type of music. What a crazy world 2025 is. Maybe I should go through the windshield of my car. And maybe that was a sign that I should actually stop wearing my seatbelt. I was being very sarcastic when I said I was going to stop wearing my seatbelt. But now that I think about it, we got white guys playing reggae music. And maybe I should just go through the windshield of my car and have my last day. Until that day, let's get into something I found on Reddit. White guys... DJ, reggae, what is wrong with this country? Moving along. All right, this comes from a subreddit, women. That's a topic I like to talk a lot about here. G-string at beach dilemma. I'm just wondering, what is the opinion on G-strings at the beach for tanning? My mom loudly shames girls around my age wearing bikinis for a good tan, saying she does not want to see that and it should be illegal because you can see their butts. She is strongly against plus-size women in bikinis and says it should be illegal to show that. I understand she doesn't want to see that, and I tried to reason with her because she was causing a little commotion. I believe people should wear what they want as long as they aren't hurting anyone or breaking the law. She is very protective of me, and I'm just in a plain black one piece. If I was out of the water, if I was out of the water and I have to put a towel on to cover up, even if I adjust the towel and my swimmers show for a second, she gets annoyed and thinks I'm trying to show myself off. I know I'll never be allowed in a basic bikini because of my proportions. Her saying is, if you are too fat to wear something, I won't let you wear it because I don't want people to have to see that. I'm not trying to back her out. I'm also just asking for a general opinion. Do you think women can wear what they want and their body shape or proportion shouldn't affect how they should dress? You need to respect your elders and especially your mom, assuming you're from overseas. Your mom, I side with her 100%. She is absolutely correct. Now, when I'm at the beach, right, and not just me, but I speak for everybody who's ever been to a beach in their life or that will be in the beach, at the beach at some point in their life if they have never been to one so far in their life. Oh, that's a lot. That was a lot of syllables, a lot. I'm saying, if you're a fatty, do not be wearing G-string bikinis at the beach. That should be illegal. If your butt cheeks have dimples on them like a golf ball and each cheek is you can get two handfuls on each cheek and your butt cheeks that you need two seats on the plane for your butt, you should not be allowed to wear a G-string bikini at the beach. If your butt resembles we're going back a little bit. If your butt resembles Rikishi of the WWE Attitude Era, if you know, you know. If you have a Rikishi-type butt, you should not be allowed to wear a G-string bikini at the beach or anywhere in public. And I'm saying, what should be the penalty? Okay, so if I'm at, let's say I'm at a Waikiki beach in Hawaii, right? I'm there chilling at the beach, probably getting burnt because I'm very pale, but I'm enjoying the scenery, the ocean, Diamond Head Volcano, the palm trees, the white sand, the waves, the locals, the butlers, the servers bringing out the fancy tropical cocktails that are red and green and orange. And I'm hearing music in the background and the wind and the sand. And I'm just enjoying the moment. The last thing I want to see is Rikishi, your fat ass, walking by me and blocking the sunset with your fat ass because you're a fatty. And there should be a penalty for doing so. And this is what the penalty should be. All right, if you're a fatty and you decide to wear a G-string bikini to the beach, the penalty for doing so is we should bury you in the sand up to your face, and then we should have all the toddlers at the beach pee on your head. All right, pee on your head. Give yourself. We'll give you a golden shower, and that's the penalty, and hopefully you'll learn a lesson and never do that again. Now, here is where I'm going to diverge from your mom and probably from a lot of the audience listening or watching Verbal Graffiti. You might be shocked when I tell you this. I'm anti everybody wearing a G-string bikini at the beach. That goes for the fatties and also the baddies who are in shape. Now, if you're a baddie, right, if you're a hottie, you're a sorority member, and you have a fine ass, you do squats 3 hours a week, we could bounce quarters off your butt cheeks, you should still not be allowed to wear a G-string bikini at the beach. There should be no law against attractive people with nice butts wearing a G-string bikini at the beach, but you should, if you're that type of person, you should still have enough common sense and decency and refrain from wearing that bikini that goes in between your butt cheeks while out in public and at the beach. I say this because the G-string is something that should be earned, not given. And that goes for both sexes, the boys and the girls, the babes and the studs. If you're a guy, you should have to earn the right to see that G-string. It shouldn't just be from some floozy walking up and down the coastline who thinks he's hot shit and trying to make everybody awkward by like not doing the whole eye contact thing. Like, if you're a guy, you just have to work on yourself. You just have to have game. You just work on your wardrobe, lift weights, get a personality, make money, learn how to pull. That's how you should get to see a G-string, by bringing a babe back to your place and pulling down her skirt. Those are the guys who deserve to see the G-string. It's not like the G-string should not be allowed to be seen by any John who can afford a $10 parking pass and then go down to the public beach, wherever that might be. Like, that's not the type of person. Like, the G-string should not be given out to that kind of person. That view should be earned. And I also see, if you're a hot, like, honestly, now this is coming. The B-man, I don't have a family, I don't have a girlfriend, I don't have any kids, and you guys, when I'm at the beach, I get awkward, I feel awkward when I see a hot lady walking by with a string bikini on. Like, that makes me feel awkward, and that's me. I don't have any kids, I don't have a family. Yeah, I won't lie, like, I love it. If I see it, I do enjoy the view, right? If there's some hottie that's a sorority member of an Alpha Pi at Arizona State University, and her girlfriends are playing spike ball on the beach, and they're all wearing thong bikinis, the B-man's giving a thumbs up. I am going to stare. If they like look back at me, they stop staring at me, I'm not looking away. Like, great, good for you. But I also know that I am, you know, I'm a pervert's pervert, and I'm okay with that. And yet still, it makes me awkward. It makes me feel awkward. Now, just imagine, when you go to the beach, most people do not go to a beach alone. You go there with your family and your friends. And so if you're there with people you're close with, especially if you're a married guy, right, and you got your kids with you, and you got your family, you're on vacation, then some hot 25-year-old babe, they walk by in thong, G-string bikinis, and then what's that guy supposed to do? Because if he looks, his wife's going to be pissed at him, his kids are going to realize, oh, our dad doesn't love our mom, He just likes red meat, and it puts him in an impossible position. Because what's he supposed to do? Not look at the 25-year-old, the 30-year-old with the hot thong bikini? Like, that's an impossible position to put that guy in. And that is why I am anti-G-string bikinis in public at the beach. Because it's putting us all in awkward positions where we don't know how to respond. We don't know where to look. I'm sorry. Like, this is entrapment, right? When a babe wears a G-string bikini at a beach, that is entrapment for all the Johns like myself that are there. I've also been at the beach on like 4th of July where like my nieces and all her friends will be wearing thong bikinis. And immediately when I see that, I just think, oh, they're all sluts. All right, they're all sluts. If we were to look through their phones, it would just be a bunch of sex messages. And they're just getting dicked down by random guys. And honestly, if I see a group of, you know, younger people wearing thong bikinis on the beach, you're a bunch of sluts. That's what I think. And I know I ain't the only one who thinks that way. So, yeah, listen to your mom. Wear a one piece. Don't be letting your swimmers out when you're on the beach. And I think it's better for you and for the rest of us just to wear a one piece. If you really need to get a tan, if your mom has a backyard, go tanning out there naked, you know, early or in the afternoon when nobody's home, or go get a spray tan like all the other basic bitches here in the U.S. No G-string thong bikinis at beaches should be allowed. Let's go look at some photos. Remember to like and share an episode of Verbal Graffiti with your local chapter members of Antifa. Speaking of Antifa, everybody's talking, everybody's chatting about the biggest comeback of all time, a DT, Donald Trump, 47, back, then off, now back again as president. Everybody's wrong. Everybody's off base. I am going to tell you what the biggest comeback of all time I've seen this month. I was watching football this weekend at the championship games as the bro's bro that the B-man is. Hey, I'm not an athlete, but I enjoy watching athletes. A complete cuck activity watching sports. Anyways, I'm watching the game. And what are the people in the crowd drinking? I'm watching one of the end zones, and there was this group in the corner of one of the end zones. They were not drinking beer. They were drinking Twisted Teas. Tall boy cans of Twisted Tea. Is Twisted Tea back? Right? Is that? Because when I was younger, when I was in college, the 2000s, pre-2010, if you were a guy, you were not allowed to drink Twisted Tea. If you did so, you lost your man card. You had to leave the party immediately. You were chastised. You were made fun of. You were called a fake, a gay, all the slurs. You were mocked. You had to leave campus. You had to transfer to another state school. Because, of course, none of us went to private schools. None of us were smart enough for that. But you had to, we would hear the pop. Because back then, Twisted Teas, I'm not sure if they were ever in cans back then. They were in the bottles. You would hear, you know, the pop of a bottle. And everybody, what is that? You got Bud Light? You got Bud Heavy bottles? Whoa. And then they see you had the yellow, you know, the yellow and the blue, like, you're a Twisted Tea? And like, it's a raspberry Twisted Tea? Are you serious? Look at the B-man. He's drinking a raspberry Twisted Tea. What a weenie. You know, they would haze you. You were just not. The only women, the babes, they were allowed to drink Twisted Tea back then because they're allowed to drink whatever they want. We're just, you know, back. Everyone's just happy that the babes are actually at the party so they can drink whatever. But the guys, maybe it's different now. But I was watching the game and I noticed their whole group, a bunch of guys, 24-ounce Twisted Teas. The guys. With it didn't even look like it was they were doing it ironically. No, it was just, oh yeah, iced tea, there's alcohol in it, it's great. And then they hit it, wow, that is the biggest comeback of all time. You can be a guy in 2025, drink a tall boy twisted tea at a football game and not be chastised for doing so. If you had told me that in 2005 that this would be the case, I would have said, no way. That is not the USA that I know. Apparently, it is a different country now. Now, drink whatever you want to drink. If you want to drink a twisted tea, sure. Again, I love iced tea and I love alcohol. So I'm sure they taste better now than they did back then. I'm sure they, with the ingredients, it doesn't have that bitter aftertaste that it used to have, because I have had a twisted tea in the past before. So I do know about that terrible aftertaste. But twisted tea, while you should be able to drink it, that twisted tea is not a tall boy drink. If you want to drink a twisted tea, have your 12-ounce can or bottle. But tall boys should be reserved for beer, Bud Heavies, Heineken's, you know, any of Coors, just those domestic beers, even Stella. Is Stella domestic or is that foreign? You know, it's a beer, right? A 24-ounce can, that's a beer. Any of the other drinks, the twisted teas, the White Claws, the seltzers, all those drinks, 12 ounces. But the tall boys are reserved. Those are the boys' drinks. Those are beers. Those are ales. We gotta hold on to something here in America, all right? We got Donald Trump. We got 24-ounce twisted iced teas. Tall boys are for the beer. For the beer. So that's the biggest comeback so far. I was flabbergasted when I saw that. So who's ever on the Twisted Tea marketing team, a tip of my penis to you. You've done a great job. You deserve a bonus. Let's move it along. This is a subreddit, the marriage subreddit. Ooh, a lot of stuff going on there. Feeling a little cringy. We often feel that way here at Verbal Graffiti. So I am feeling a little cringy over something that happened at my husband's company party over the weekend. I was driving that night, so my husband was super buzzed. He was also pre-gaming at home before the open bar. Great combo. This was my husband's company party, so I let him drink and I would drive. So we are all standing around the party, mingling, and my husband gives me a peck on the lips while his hand is on my hips. He kind of touches my butt a little. Very little butt touch. And like a few pecks. Pecks and smiles. Zero tongue. His boss walks right up to us and basically tells us to tone it down. He walks right up by us quickly and whispers to kind of like, what? WTF, what the fuck? As soon as he said that, we just looked at each other like, WTF. I stopped being so close. I felt offended and annoyed, then embarrassed. Now, I wonder if it was too much. I am so embarrassed. I was sober. I literally had a glass of wine with dinner. LOL, I consider that sober. Wink emoji. I don't know why, but I keep replaying the scene and getting cringe and feeling shame. Do you guys think that we were doing too much? Was his boss correct to say that? Sigh. Well, thank you very much for the middle school, seventh grade, play-by-play making out session with you and your husband. Really did appreciate that and all the detail you included. Now, I don't believe that you were sober, wink. I don't believe that your husband was just giving you pecks. on the cheek and a little bit of hip rub and merely that. And I also, I don't believe your boss was out of school in his reprimanding the two of you. I actually think your boss acted, he did you a solid, and he's a great boss because he came by you. He pointed out that the two of you were sucking face a little too sucky of the face. He whispered it under his breath so that none of your other coworkers would hear him reprimanding you. And he kept it moving. He was very quiet in telling you guys what to do or what not to do. And he did it in a respectful manner. So that's a good boss. Your husband should be happy that he has a boss like that and a company that provides a holiday party with a open bar. We all appreciate those here at Verbal Graffiti. Now, with all that out of the way, I also believe that your boss is jealous of your husband because he saw his coworker, the person he's, in control of, getting action at this party. And he probably saw you sucking face with your husband. And the boss thought to himself, I wish I had a wife that was like that, that would PDA the fuck out of me at a company party like this. But he doesn't. He has a tame wife who probably hasn't touched his wieners in months. So he's living in a dead bedroom. He sees a guy he's a boss of in the office with a wife that just likes to have fun, get loose at a party, have a couple glasses of wine, kiss a husband in public, PDA, hands all over each other. And he wishes he had some of that. And the boss is also a bit perturbed because he's supposed to be the alpha in the office because he's the boss. He has that title, but he has the title alpha only. Like, he's not the actual alpha in the office. That is held by your husband because your husband, by you allowing your husband to suck your face and be handsy and rub his hands all over your butt cheeks in public, that he's demonstrating that he is the bull in the office. He is the lion. He might, during the day, right, he's a subordinate because he has to be to get that check and the benefits. But once he checks out, he's letting everybody in the office know, hey, I fuck. My wife, she fucks me. We fuck. I am the lion. I am the alpha. I am the dominant one in this office when we're all off the clock. And the boss does not appreciate that, all right? Because it's man among men, and he does not like that at all. And honestly, nobody likes it other than you and your husband, because everybody else is there probably drinking their, they have their Dixie cup, their red cup, their clear cup it's filled halfway with that cheap wine, Pinot, that's $10 a bottle that your company provided. And they're all at the company party, putting in enough FaceTime, just enough so where people won't talk shit behind their back, and they want to leave right away. And when they're driving home from the party, they're bitching and they're whining to their spouse about how you and your husband were sucking face, and how this was just another year that they didn't get a bonus, and how they hate the company. And can you believe they only gave us that cheap wine, and it wasn't even prime rib. The chicken was dry. Chicken fingers. You couldn't even give us chicken buffalo wings with the actual bones. Like, what the fuck kind of company am I working at? I need to get my LinkedIn going. But not you. You and your husband were enjoying the party. You were pre-gaming it. You were having a time of your life. And there's really, from what you said, you don't work at the company. So it's not like you're your husband's subordinate or, you're working in the same department. You're an outsider. So there's no boss, employee, like dominant, there's no HR violation. So your husband can't really get in trouble for doing his wife. Like, you're two, or you're married, you're above board. This isn't the boss and the intern in the closet. She walks out after 7 minutes in heaven with a hickey, and she can't find her heel, and her bra strap is like coming out of her blouse. Like, you know, you two, you're above board in public. And this is actually why most companies don't have Christmas parties anymore. I used to work at a company, Reese. We had a big time Christmas party, and the day before the party, they sent out a company wide email telling everybody, "Hey, there's going to be alcohol at this party provided. Please contain yourself," because there were previous years where some of the sales guys used to get in a fight over some of the female employees, and there were all these altercations and people had to be fired. And this is not a rare occurrence. This happens at company parties where there's an open bar. So I am glad that there are still employers out there who provide an open bar and a Christmas party to celebrate the birth of Christ. So I'm jealous for you and your husband, as is your boss. And just an aside note, every time I've been to a place with an open bar, I too have pre-gamed the open bar. Don't do it. Do not pre-game an open bar. That is way too much alcohol for me to contain myself. I am not mature enough to be able to handle an environment where there is an open bar. Anytime I've been to an event where there is an open bar, I end up getting blacked out and having to text my friends the next morning, or more likely the next afternoon when I wake up, and I have to piecemeal everything together, and I have the embarrassment. And usually the hangover takes 3 days to get over. So I am not mature nor adult enough to handle open bars. It seems like you and your husband are the same way. So I would love to drink with you two sometime. So I'm happy for your boss. I'm happy that you married an alpha male. And I'm actually happy with the way your boss went about telling you two to calm it down. He did so in a very respectful manner where, you know, the two of you wouldn't be more embarrassed than you already embarrassed yourself at this party. All right. We're going to continue reading The Salesman's Wife by John Lawrence. If you are reading together, we are on the top of page 73. We will read two pages. She gasped when she saw herself. The thin white garment hung loosely around her cream white shoulders, and clung sensuously to the curves of her lithe young body. The material was so sheer that her full body was tantalizingly visible, especially the full mounds of her young breasts. The dark rings of her areolas were clearly revealed, as well as the tender buds of her nipples, which had already grown taut in anticipation. She laughed happily and moved about, luxuriating in the freedom of the supple garment allowed. She did feel as if she transported back in time to the medieval days, just as she had dreamed of as a girl. Her heart swelled with ecstasy, and she was grateful to her doctor for allowing her to finally let the fantasy come true. At that moment, the door opened and she turned to see Carlsberg enter. It was like an hallucination, for he had also donned a costume, and his tall, muscular body was garbed in the manner of a soldier from the Dark Ages. He wore a metal helmet on his head. A metal visor with carvings of eagles was above his forehead. A leather vest, the color of earth, adored in his upper torso and molded to his chest muscles like a thick second skin. Leather straps studded his bronze hung from the vest around his waist, and massive genitals were tightly encased in chain metal pouch. A broad sword and sheath swung from the side. The completed image was breathtaking, and Pamela's heart began to pound wildly at the sight. "Now, my dear," he said, his eyes glittering as he beheld her luscious form encased in the bizarre costume. "We are no longer doctor and patient. I say, do you understand? You must obey me completely, or these sessions will be of no use. I will, she said, thoroughly captivated by his commanding appearance. Good, good, he said, fingering the handle of the sword. Now first of all, lay back on the carpet and close your eyes. I will instruct you. Obediently, she lay back as she was told, languidly enjoying the soft, thick pile of the rug against her thickly clad body. She closed her eyes as the doctor's soothing words instructed her. You are no longer Pamela Burns, he intoned soothingly. You are a peasant maiden, lying in your house on a warm summer day, dreaming of a lover you may someday come to marry you. Dream, Pamela, dream. His words seemed far away to her as she floated far inside her mind. She was transported to another time and pictured herself lying on the soft mattress of straw, the sound of the birds singing outside, the scent of jasmine in the air. It was lovely, lovely. Go suck a fat one.